When you think about Jesus, what image comes into your head? Not necessarily the description you just heard there, but what's the normal image you would think of? Let me try this, Ben. I'll see if it works.
You might. There we go. It's working. Okay, so this is maybe what you think of when you think of Jesus. Particularly this time of year, Jesus is the baby in the manger, which he is. Came to our world as a baby, and you see him as a baby in a manger. Maybe that's the vision that you see when you think, Jesus, I see a baby. Maybe this is the image you see of Jesus. Jesus in the storm. So maybe not this bit. Maybe you remember him fast asleep. Or maybe you remember him here when he calms the storm. So maybe that's the image that you see of Jesus. Maybe this is the one you see. Maybe you think of him on a donkey's colt going into Jerusalem with them throwing down palms in front of him. Maybe that's your image. Or I reckon a lot of you, that will be your image. The image you see of Jesus, you think of Jesus on the cross. It's the image that a lot of us would think about when we think about Jesus and who Jesus is. And I want to say that there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's very important and of vital importance to us that we have those visions of Jesus. They all represent something of who Jesus is. And not just something of who he is, but actually his most wondrous achievement that he achieved when he came to this earth, when he came as a baby, as a man, when he calmed the storms to prove that he had power over the nature and all around him, as he came into Jerusalem on a donkey saying, I come bringing peace, or as he dies on the cross to die for us. And probably some of you have got other images of him and you're thinking, well, I'm thinking about him at his resurrection. Maybe that's the image you've got, but there may be more. But these are good images that we should have of Jesus, and they show us that he loved us and that he came to save us. It's also worth remembering that this is Jesus on a special mission. I don't know if you ever think about that, but Jesus came to earth on a special mission. He came, I've got a little visual image to try and help you visualize this. So we're over here. This is where Jesus came down to earth, his first coming. He came on a special mission, and this is his mission. He came to save us and to make peace between God and man. That was his mission. He came to save us and to make peace with God and man. And he came into our world. He was named Jesus. Why? The angel said, you shall call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That was his mission. That's why he came. He came on a mission to save. And then you will see, he ascended up to heaven after he was raised from the dead. And then we have human history. But you will see at the far end of human history, we have that little red arrow, or big red arrow. Jesus is coming again. And he has another mission. Jesus is coming again and he has another mission. And in between those two points, we have what I've called the age of gospel grace. We're living in the age of gospel grace right now. We're in it. It's not going to go on forever, but we're living in it right now. Now, if you didn't notice, have a look back at our reading. Our reading was about Jesus. It's not a description of Jesus that we hear nearly as often as the Christmas message, is it? I don't think. I haven't heard that description an awful lot. And maybe it's the first time you've ever heard it. You've never heard of Jesus as he's described there. Now, this is a description of Jesus at the second arrow. This is Jesus at his second coming. What is sometimes called in the Bible the day of the Lord. It's a day in our future. It's a day that is coming. And it's a day that it is very different from his first coming, when he came to bring peace and he came to save. Now, we're looking at the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is a book that there's been all sorts of dodgy teaching around. It's a book that a lot of people will avoid. And yet it's a brilliant book. It's a fascinating book. And We're going to look at it today. I want you first of all, though, to go to Revelation chapter 1, because if you want to read Revelation and you want to understand Revelation, you want to read right from the start what Revelation is about as a book. It was a revelation that was given to John the Apostle. But in the first verse of the first chapter, we're told about this revelation. It says this: the revelation of Jesus Christ. So it's a revelation about who? Jesus Christ, which God gave him. So this revelation was given to Jesus to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. This was a revelation given by God to Jesus to show to Jesus' servants what was going to take place in the future. Then it says, he made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. So that's how we know it, because the angel came to the servant John with this revelation. And then it says, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even all that he saw. And then it says in verse 3, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it. So right now, you're all being blessed because you've just heard some of the words of this revelation. And those who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. Revelation, really important book. It's a revelation. It's a revelation about Jesus. And it was given to his people to tell them about things that were going to happen in the future. What else do we know about the book of Revelation? Well, it's a specific type of book. It's written in a certain sort of language. It's what's called apocalyptic literature. What apocalyptic literature does is it's full of picture language and it's full of symbolism. So it's full of numbers, it's full of colours, it's full of images. So for example, the dragon in Revelation is a representation of Satan. The colour white is a representation of purity and righteousness. You might have seen that if you go to Revelation 19. Let's turn back there. So Revelation chapter 19. Verse 11, we see heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. Why is the horse white? Because the one riding on it is called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. So white is a picture of righteousness, of purity. So there we go, two things. Revelation is for us. It reveals, who does it reveal? It reveals Jesus to us. It's got symbolism, it's got pictures, but don't let that make you think, oh, well, we can't understand it, or it's too confusing. It's not. It's not. It's here to reveal. It's here to show, and it's here to show us Jesus. Okay. I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse. And kids, I'm going to get you all involved in a second, so you'll be ready. Have a look around the room, see if you can see anything that you might be able to find in a second. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and one sitting on it is called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, that's crowns, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He's clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he's called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, what a picture. This is King Jesus, not the Jesus maybe you've heard before, and he's on a different mission. So, now kids, around the room, hidden around the room, are 9 sheets of paper or card with images on them. So, if you can all go see if you can find one. If you can't, don't worry, I've got more cards that I'm going to... So, go on, off you go. Go have a look around the room, see if you can find some cards with pictures on them of Jesus there. And once you have them, bring them to the front. We might need some to go in that room over there as well. So they look like what George has got here. The big cards, there you go, stand in a line. I want to find 9 of these. might be one behind me. There's one down here. Great, get in the line. That's great. Good. Oh, that's good. Right, squeeze along a bit. Squeeze along. That way. Everyone go that way. That's it, great. Have I got nine? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Am I missing one? Oh, Johnny's found one. Okay. Any more children? Any more children? Okay. Ant, can you be my child for the moment? Thank you. Johnny's at the back there. Go get that last one. Okay, so we've got all these pictures. You've got the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay, you want to turn that over for me, please? There we go. We've got someone treading the wine press with his feet. Actually, I think I've got... No. If we go back... Not that one. There we go, we've got the pictures there. You've got his eyes are like a flame of fire. We've got Hello One sitting, it's called Faithful and True. Here we've got, hold it up, Georgia. You've got a mouth with a sword coming out of it. Here we got a white horse. Here we've got an army of white horses. Here we've got a man with blood on his robe, and he's called the Word of God. And here we have the head with many diadems or many crowns. So we've all got the pictures. Right, now youth group, now it's your job to do some work. I've got some descriptions of what those things mean. And so you are going to have to come up and stand beside the picture that you think is the right one. So you're all sitting there thinking, I'm not coming up. All of you are coming up, right. So first one says, let me put those down. It says, he sees everything and judges with God's holiness. Who would like to come and stand beside the picture you think that is? I'm going to pick someone if you don't volunteer. Hugh. It's a pretty easy one, that one, I think. Where are you going to stand?
Sword.
Okay. People might want to shout out and say if you think he's in the right place. Maybe you want to help him. Okay. He judges based on truth, faithfulness, and righteousness. Who's going to do this one? Come on, Jill. It's all right. They'll tell you if you're in the wrong place. Go on. Go where you think you should go. We agree? Okay. He brings judgment against the evil that has made God furious. Who wants to do that one? Harry, I'm going to pick you. Come on. See if you can find the right place for that one. We agree? Yeah? Okay. His words cut down and judge the nations and their evil. His words cut down grace. Yeah, that was a popular one. This one's hard because it's two of the same. So he is king over many things. Who thinks? Chloe. Come on. Okay, you might want you'll see the other one come up and then you want to decide where to go, wouldn't it? So he rides to war in righteousness against the enemies of God. Easy one, come on. Yeah, come on. It's Phoebe, yeah? It's Phoebe. You girls all look the same, I always get you mixed up. He is ruler over everyone. He thinks we're running out of you. Olivia, come on. There you go, good. We got two more, right? So, he leads his people who have been made righteous and clean. Annabelle? Lois has just given you up there. That means Lois has got to do the last one. That's pretty easy though, because there's only one left. Right, and he is Jesus, who shed his blood for his people and is the Word of God. Go, go, go. Right, okay, so we all agree that they're in the right place, yeah? Yeah? Yeah. Okay, so we'll go through them then. Great. So you've got King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is the ruler over everyone. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the God, the Almighty. He brings judgment against evil that has made God furious. His eyes are like a flame of fire. He sees everything and he judges with God's holiness. The one sitting on it is called faithful and true. So he judges based on truth, faithfulness, and righteousness. With his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. His words cut down and judge the nations and their evil. So he brings judgment by what he says. He's on a white horse. He rides to war in righteousness against the enemies of God. What have we got? The armies of heaven in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. He leads his people, the church, who have been made righteous and clean. Nearly fell over there. He's clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and he's called the Word of God. This is Jesus. He shed his blood for his people, and he is the Word of God. We find that in John 1. And finally, he's got many diadems on his head because he is king over many things, because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Great, everyone. Put them on the floor and go sit down. That was fantastic. I'll tidy them up later. So, have you ever thought that about Jesus? Have you ever known that about Jesus? He is God's great king. He is God's great king, the king of every king, past or present. He is the Lord of every Lord. He is as high as you can go. There's no one above him. He is a mighty warrior. Okay? He came as a baby Jesus, but he is a mighty warrior. And he's a warrior king. And he comes on his stallion, his white stallion. And the reason he comes on that horse is he comes to make war. So when you hear about Jesus who came on a donkey, it's because his mission was to make peace. And the donkey was a sign that he was not coming to bring war, but peace. But here he comes to make war. He's the righteous one. He's totally pure. He's totally holy. And he comes to the final battle with mankind. He comes, this is sometimes called Armageddon. This is the final battle, and we haven't got time to do it. But the rest of the story, we read that the enemies of God, they come to make war against them. But there is no battle. He says it is done. And at that point, they are defeated. Because he has already won against them at the cross. And so this is just Jesus coming to end evil. And after this point, there will be no evil, no sin, no wickedness. So if Jesus' first mission was to save and to make peace, his second mission is to judge and to make war. And he is here to judge and to make war against God's enemies. This is a day of judgment for Vladimir Putin and for those who have done evil in the war in Ukraine. This is a day of judgment for Adolf Hitler. All those people who say Hitler got away with it by killing himself. He did not. He will be raised up on that last day and he will be judged. This is a day of justice for those who have escaped justice. All those stories you've heard about people who didn't get caught. Those people who have faded into history. They will be raised and they will be judged by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in justice. And it's a day when those who have persecuted God's church will face wrathful judgment. You see, God is most unhappy about his people being killed and persecuted. And we read in that passage, in verse 15, he will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. God is furious and he is angry with those who have done evil, and particularly those who have done evil to his people, who have proclaimed the gospel and have been killed for it. And so this is a day where he brings judgment. And it's something that we actually ought to be rejoicing over. The end of evil. I know this sounds like a really serious message, and it is, but it's a day where evil ends. It's a day when good wins. It's a day when justice is done. So it's a great day. It's a really exciting day. The danger is if we are not with God on that day, we are not part of his church, his people that are described there, the people of God who come, who are dressed in fine linen. They are the bride of Christ, who he has dressed in his own righteousness. Also notice this, that this same Jesus was the one born in a manger. Can you imagine what the angels thought when they saw Jesus first come down to earth? When they saw that little baby in the manger, they thought, this is the King of Kings. And he's born with the animals, and no one's come to see him, and no one knows who he is. But this is the King of Kings, the King of all eternity, the one who made the world. Can you imagine when he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey all week with no army? They said, this is the warrior king. He is so powerful. He is so mighty. He could be coming to crush his enemies, but no, he's coming weak and to make peace with them. And can you imagine the angels when Jesus hung on the cross? Why? He is the Lord God of eternity, so mighty, so loved by his Father. And here he is hanging, dying. And he has done nothing wrong. He is righteous. He is pure. But he's dying. Why is he letting this happen to him? He could get down from that cross at any moment. Why is he letting this happen to him? Well, it's because he loved us. It's because he loved us and he died to save us and to make peace with us. That's why he died. The Christmas carol Hark the Herald Angels Sing says this. It says, Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, or hidden in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. That song is saying, do you see who Jesus is? Do you see God in Jesus? This is the glory of the gospel. Jesus came, God came to earth to make peace with us so that we might not face this judgment. He came to make peace because he loved us. And the only way that you will stand on that day, and let me tell you, nobody will stand on that day unless they are covered by the blood of Jesus. Though only those covered by his holiness that he shed on that blood cross, only those who have faith in Jesus will be able to stand in the great day of the Lord. And so I'm finishing with three application points. First, if you're a Christian, this should encourage you. As we enter this new year, we can celebrate that this is a time of grace and that time has not run out yet. That God has withheld his judgment. And everyone sitting in this room, if you're a Christian here today, you are saved because God withheld his judgment. And you might see evil in the world and you might think, well, God should come and stop that evil now. But if he had done so 100 years ago, you wouldn't have been saved. So it's thanks to his grace that we are saved. He has withheld his judgment a little time more. So we should be encouraged by that and encouraged that we have more time, because this is a time of hope and opportunity. As we go into 2023, this is a chance to go out and proclaim the gospel in the age of gospel grace. Jesus has not returned yet. Now, I got a line from, this is one of my favorite quotes from the film The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. Gandalf in that film says this to Frodo, all we have to do is decide what to do with the time given to us. So all we have to do is decide. You might have regrets. You might have, I should have told that person about the gospel. I should have done this. Well, all you need to do is decide what to do now. You have time. I have time. We have time. Jesus is coming. What are we going to do with that time? That's the encouragement. There's still time. He's not come yet. Let's make the most of every opportunity to proclaim Jesus to anyone we can. And let's encourage others that we've been saved. A joyous thing. We've been saved from our sins. Let's go and tell other people. The time's not run out. I also want to encourage us that as we see the great evil in our world today, and when we do see great evil in the world today, that God not only sees that evil, but he hates that evil, and he is going to judge it. He will bring about ultimate justice. Nobody will get away with their crimes. Jesus is delayed only for the sake of grace. Remember that. He is delaying for grace, not because he doesn't see it, and not because he doesn't hate it, and not because he won't judge it. He will. Depend on it. That is what the passage is about. He is coming. It is going to happen. And then finally, my last point, if you are not a believer here, there's a grave and there's a serious warning in this passage. Because the age of grace, if I go back to the age of gospel grace is coming to an end. It's not forever. And this is your chance. You're hearing it this morning. The gospel, you're hearing it. This is the opportunity. The opportunity to seek mercy from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He offers it to all men and women everywhere. Anyone who would come, he will accept you. He is knocking at the door. He wants you to be part of his salvation. But if you will reject him, if you will not believe in him, if you will say, I want nothing to do with him, then he will bring judgment on your sins because he hates sin. And he will bring judgment. You must put your faith in him. You must trust him. You must ask him to wash you clean. You must ask him to save you. That is the only day you will stand on the day of the Lord. So do not take Jesus lightly. Do not think he's a baby that has no power. He has piercing eyes that sees everything that we do. And he sees it with holiness. And he is going to judge. And he is not going to let any sin last beyond that day. And if you do not seek his help when it's offered, then it will run out. The second coming is the end. There is no chance at that point. He first came to make peace and offer salvation. Wonderful news. If rejected, then he's due to return in judgment for sin. Come to him today if you don't know him yet. Let me pray. Dear Lord Jesus, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You are the mighty judge of the earth, the one who hates all wickedness. And we know that none of us can stand by our own righteousness. We cannot say that we are without wrong. We cannot say that there is not anything in our life that has not been bad. And Lord, your standard is perfection. We cannot stand by perfection. We know we will fall. And Lord, I pray that if anyone does not know you here today, that they would see that you are a God of love and you came to this earth to die for us, that we would not have to face that judgment. You came to shed your blood so that we might be covered. You came because you knew that we could not do this on our own, but only you could do it. And Lord, we do pray that those of us who are Christians, that we would have a love for the lost. And we would proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ to everyone we can and his salvation. We pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're now going to